It's so good to see you here today. How many are enjoying the weather? Praise be to God. It's just about perfect. And just think, people in San Diego, California, this was year-round for them. It's wonderful outside. If you haven't been doing anything outside, find an excuse to do something outside and enjoy the time. It's perfect if you're in construction now, being outside and anything that's going on outside is great. One other thing I want to mention to you today. Every Sunday at 9:30, we have a teaching time. We have worship and teaching. That's every week. Now, most times it's in a large group, but sometime, as it will be in a few weeks, about 4 weeks, I think it is, we're going to divide up into different groups and have different teaching modules. But I didn't want to invite some of you. Some of you have never been a part of that. And I invite you to come. It's something for the kids, something for you to be here. Our church, we purposely don't meet you to death. We purposely don't have all these meetings. We say, here it is on Sunday morning. Here's the large wing, big group thing. And then we have groups during the week, our life groups that go on. We're a two-wing church in that way. We don't have 10 dozen meetings that we're asking you to be at all the time. It's simple. It simplifies life, because we really believe that the living out of your Christian life is in the 24/7, that when you're out there away from this gathering time. It's great to get together and see everybody and all that, but to go back into our places where we really serve and where the real ministry takes place through all of us with all of our gifts and graces. So anyway, but that's another equipping time for you on a weekly basis. And it was superb this morning. Brother Rick led us in a time talking about surrender. It was superb. What do you say when there's a blue light behind you and they pull you over? And there you are in front of God and everybody, and you begin to give an excuse. There's a fellow in a very neat uniform, Smokey the Bear hat on, sometimes tipping over. They're asking to see your license and insurance card. And what are some of the things that you say at that time? Well, let me give you a few. All of these are just ones I've heard about. Okay? But here's a few. The accelerator got stuck. I've been meaning to spray it with some WD-40. It just got stuck, and I was trying to get it unstuck. Had that work out for you? Or I leaned over to get something, and as I leaned over, my foot went down, and I know I sped through that. Or, you know, I didn't notice that they had changed the speed limit signs at this time. I thought we were still, and we've been riding, 15 miles, on a stretch of interstate where it hadn't changed in a long time. Or here's one I like. I heard about a person that did. They carried a bee in a little box, a dead bee in a little box with them, and kept it in what used to be the ashtray, right there, keeping it. And so when they got pulled over, they'd pull that thing out and said, "Officer, I'm sorry, but I was trying to kill this bee in here, and I didn't know how fast I was going." Now, I know I'm giving some of you ideas about how to do it. Heard about this preacher that got pulled over, And the officer looks in there and he said, you were speeding, sir. He said, well, I didn't mean to. I was drinking my water here. And he says, well, let me see that water. He hands him the glass of water. And the officer smells it. He said, sir, this isn't water. This is wine. He says, praise God, he's done it again. Now, don't try that one. There are a lot of excuses. A lot of excuses. When I was pastoring a church years ago, I told a couple of you this story. It's most of my stories. You know, they're just cyclical. Just get new audiences. That's what Audrey says. But we were having trouble with ladies who were leaving their purses. The ones that were in our choir at that time were leaving their purses there, and money was getting missing. And so we asked this one guy we suspect, and he said, oh, no, I'm just going out to the bathroom each week. We suspected this guy. That was his excuse. Well, one of my guys said, preacher, I'll take care of it. So he hid in the locked closet behind the old choir robes that were in there. He was behind the choir robe, and the purses were on some chairs there, and he was behind that. This guy gets up as he was doing, and he went out, came around, broke into the door. And about the time he had his hand about that deep, and it was a rather large purse, that deep in the purse, the hand of God came out of the choir robes and grabbed him. And his first words were, I'm not stealing anything. Caught with your hand in the cookie jar, as we say, red-handed. A lot of excuses in life, aren't there? We're going to talk about them today. I want you to listen quickly. Now, I have to back up to verse 1 in this chapter. Let me read you this, and then we'll get down to 15 in Luke 14. Today. It happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. And there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? They kept silent. And he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, which of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath? And they could make no reply to him. And then he goes on with some more discourse. I want you to see the setup of this. It's Jesus at the home of a Pharisee. And there were other Pharisees and influential, rich people that were there. Now, verse 15. When one of those who was reclining at the table with him heard this, heard his discourse, things they'd been talking about, he said to him, blessed is everyone that will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And this Pharisee was talking about, oh yeah, like we're all going to be together. But then Jesus said to him, this story, this parable, this parable, a story thrown alongside life so that you can understand the issues of life. Here it is. A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, "I've bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused." Another one said, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused." Another said, "I've married a wife and for that reason I cannot come." The slave came back and reported to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to the slave, "Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame." The slave said, "Master, what you commanded has been done and still there's room." The master said to the slave, "Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be full. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste of my dinner." Lord, I ask you now that you'll give us clarity of thought and an open spirit to hear from you. Lord, right now we pray your protection over this place and over our hearing so the evil one may not gain an advantage with any of us and distract us from what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Big dinner. It's a feast, if you will. And all these people have already been invited to the feast. The 3 examples that are here, the 3 with the 3 excuses, they've already been invited. They received an invitation by which they RSVP'd that they're coming. That's how it worked in those days. You'd receive an invitation days, sometimes weeks ahead. You would acknowledge the invitation, acknowledge you were coming. And then on the day in which it came, since there were no cell phones, there, you know, probably not even carrier pigeons for them to let them all know that when it was time, they would go around and alert them, "It's time. The feast is ready." It would be late in the day, very late in the day, late afternoon, early evening, as they would come together. Got the picture now? So we need to put their responses in context. All 3 of these who gave excuses had already agreed to and accepted the invitation by mouth, "I'm coming. I'm coming to the feast." That's an important part of the story. That's part of the story. I read this many, many times before I ever understood that about it. That's a key part of it. Here's the feast. The invitations are out. Now it's time to come. Everything is ready. But they began to make excuses. And the tense of that is, it wasn't just one excuse. This is just the beginning of their excuses. Key point there. The beginning of excuses. This is what came out of their mouths and what was reported back to the master. But it was only the beginning of their excuses. Follow me now? First excuse from the first person. "I bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused." Well, now let's examine that. Let's just take that on its own merit. I bought a piece of land. Now I'm going to go look at it? Come on. And very good, Teresa. Very good. And we're talking late in the evening. Late afternoon, he's going to go look at it. For starters, if you want to buy a piece of land in that time, it was a complicated process that took time. So, you know, gotcha there. Secondly, you're buying it and you hadn't even looked at it yet? Come on. Who's going to believe that? And then, it's late on the evening. Fourth thing, you've already agreed. You knew the feast was on this day, and yet now you're making excuse. Second excuse. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and now I'm going out to try them out. Let me ask you, how many of y'all have bought a used car before? Did you drive it before you bought it? Any of y'all ever bought a 5 yoke of oxen? Let me tell you, you'd go drive them before you bought them too. You'd find out about them. We're talking about at least 10 oxen here. At least that many. You'd try them out. You'd go try them out. Didn't do that. Again, for the same reason, it's late in the day. He wouldn't be doing that then. And he sure wouldn't be buying them sight unseen. You know, he's not going to, you know, text over to the guy, you know, show me, all right, send me the picture of them now. Now send me the video so I can see you driving, you know. None of all that stuff. Okay? Third excuse. Now maybe this guy's got something. I've married a wife. And for that reason, I cannot come. Now, how many men here have ever used your wife as an excuse? All right, I just want to see who would be honest. We just snapped your picture. Dad, you didn't raise your hand. So I know you're lying back there. I know you've used Mama as an excuse. By the way, speaking of my mom, she got a great report this past week. Not that I'm ADD or anything here. But just stay with it. Just stay with it. These preaching gems we have here. Thursday she had a great report. She had biopsy on her lungs, had some spots on her lungs. Mom's struggling with cancer right now. Ovarian cancer's been all over her body. Radical surgery and chemo and all that stuff. But examined her lung, got biopsy back, no cancer in the lungs. It's an infection. So praise be to God. As good a woman as my mother is, and my wife, there would be no excuse for this. I've married a wife. How long ago did you marry her? And in between the few days when you got this invitation and the feast is now and you accepted the invitation, you got married in between that? No. There was no Ridgeland, South Carolina that you could drive up to. Now you have to be a certain age to understand that. To drive up to get a quickie wedding and man, we're back in Georgia and we're all married and everybody's happy now. Now, that wasn't the way it was. This guy's crawfishing on the deal. This guy is trying to use his wife as an excuse. It's not working. And by the way, at the feast, no, she couldn't come. Most time they didn't bring their wives to the feast. So in that way, she couldn't get ready in time or so, that's not an excuse. Do you see how flimsy every one of these are? You know, Billy Sunday, preacher that most of y'all probably never heard of, he was one of the great evangelists of our country from many years ago. His definition of an excuse is the greatest definition I've ever heard. Here it is. An excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Doesn't that work? The skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Now, why is Jesus telling this story? What's the story really about? The story really is about a message that he's bringing to the pseudo-religious people that he's surrounded by. These super spiritual Pharisees that are there and all those that are there. He's talking about here the Son of God is inviting you to a feast, is inviting you to come and accept Him and accept His invitation. And on the outside, you're saying today, by the fact that you've invited me here to this feast and I'm here. Now hang in here with me. Hang in here with me. You've invited me here to this feast. You're making it look like you're accepting me. But underneath, you and I both know that you haven't accepted me. And you're not accepting me as Messiah, as the Son of God. Because later on, they'll be flushed out as the story goes on. And we know what that ends up in being, don't we? He goes to a cross. These same people that are playing these little mental games are saying things like, blessed is everyone that will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Like, we're all going to be better persons for it. We're just going to be together. Everything's going to be nice. And Jesus is bringing them a radical message. Here, I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I am here in your midst. What are you going to do with me? What are you going to do with me? So what does he say? We see that for the most part, many, many Jews rejected him. That's what the Scripture says. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Now some did. Many Jews came to the Lord. But the religious establishment, the intelligentsia of their religious system, they rejected him. Carte blanche, all the way. What's the other part of the picture here? The other part of the picture is very clear. When the servant comes back to the master and says, hey, they're giving an excuse, he was angry. The master of the household was angry. You remember Jesus standing outside Jerusalem, weeping over Jerusalem? Remember that? So he says to the slave, go out into the streets and the lanes of the city. Bring here the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Bring all those who not give you an excuse, who know that they have this great need. Who know that they're not going to bump you for another invitation. As soon as you invite them, they're going to come. And you know they're going to come because you know they're hungry. You know they're thirsty. You know they're wanting what you have. And yet the Pharisees and the religious people are standing over here and they're saying, I don't know about this Jesus. Well, that's what they said publicly and privately. They said, he's not the Son of God. And even at that, the house was not full. So the master, the servant says to his master, there's still room. The master says, go out to the highways along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. Go out and get everybody and bring them in. This is our missionary God who seeks us. Where did he find you? He has been seeking you. Wherever you go, he is there. All the ways in our lives that we've tried to dodge him, and he is there seeking us out because he wants a relationship with us. He goes to everybody. Now, let me fast forward and say that we'll see in history where and we're seeing it right now, where there's been a turnaround for the Jews who are now coming to him. And we see that fulfillment as that's being fulfilled. And that's one of the ways we know that his coming is soon, is because that is taking place. You know, the numbers of messianic congregations that are in the world today and those that are coming to Jesus, it's a wonderful thing to watch. We see the missionary God going after us. So I ask you, what's your excuse? What excuse do you have to refuse his invitation to you? Now, there's nobody in this room that can sit here today and say, I haven't heard. You know why? Because I'm about to tell you again, Jesus Christ stepped down out of heaven. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross in your place. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. He ascended back to the Father. And he sat down with work completed and now receives all those who will come to faith and trust in him. Everybody, whosoever will may come, everybody. So you know what? You're without excuse now. You've heard. You just heard it. What will you do with Jesus? Will you receive him? Will you accept him as Messiah? Or you make up these religious games and talk like, well, everybody's going to heaven. You know, no, they're not. Everybody's not going to heaven. Only those who have received the Lord Jesus in their lives are going to spend forever with him. Everybody else will go to hell. That's the truth. What's your excuse? What's your excuse for rejecting him? Won't you receive him today? If you're here today and you've never received Jesus in your life, I want you to know, today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. I said it to you last week. Now's the accepted time. Won't you ask him to come into your life? Make you a new person. Change your life. He'll do it. He has the power to do that, to forgive your sin and make you a new person. In just a moment, I'm going to call on you to come publicly and receive him as your Lord and Savior. What excuse can you come? What flimsy excuse will you bring? Second application. What excuse, if you say you have Jesus in your life, do you have for not living for him? For not being the body. Where you live, where you play, what you do. What excuse do you have? He's Lord of all. Just like that, life could end. Did you know that? What are you doing with the life that he has given to you? Are you making excuses for not living out and becoming the purpose that he has for your life? You think, oh yeah, I know what my life is supposed to be. No, you don't. There's no way you could even imagine the wonderful things God has in store for you, that he wants for you. As he sees you with a purpose for which he created you in his image. These wonderful, are you fulfilling that in your life? Are you receiving that? Are you making excuses? Skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And who is the father of lies? who put those lies in your heart and say, oh, you can't become that. No, you've done this, you've done that, and hanging your past over your head. Jesus isn't going to hang your past over your head. He's going to forgive you of your past and make you a new person and change your life and change everything about you if you let Him. He's not going to say, I told you so, and be there to, you know, to try to trip you up with his legalism and all. That's not His style. That's not here is the man, the God-man, who laid down His life for you so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. Yes, it is pie in the sky by and by when you die, but it's pie right now too. Right now, living it out. The abundant life. Does that mean your bank account gets filled overnight? Probably not. Does that mean that you go out into the world and everybody in the world has changed around you? No! They're still the same. But you've changed. And so the way you look at all of it, we need to quit the excuses. Man up. Put on your big boy pants, your big girl pants, and do the right thing. Quit the excuses. Quit walking around like, oh, we're defeated. Oh, you know, it's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, life, you know, this is a garbagey life. And, you know, I'm just destined to, yeah, da, 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 da. And, you know, and Satan's playing the music for us. Why not poke him in the eye? And tell him where to go. And say, I'm going to live my life for Jesus. No excuses. And just be honest about it. Be honest about the excuses you made. Just like when you get pulled over. I know I was doing 75 in a 60. I know I was doing that. Because I was looking at the speedometer. And the best thing you can say, you got me. And throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Because whether you make an excuse or not, they still have verification of what your actual speed was. What do you think God thinks about our excuses? When He caught us with a hand in the cookie jar. What do you think He thinks about those excuses? The joy of the Lord is my strength. He desires us to be transparent, open, and honest. What about you? Have you received this Jesus in your life? And are you living by the power of the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus in your life? You say, well, this stuff, all this Christian stuff, I don't know if I can live that life. Not only will He give you the power, He'll give you the gifts in order to do it. He'll show you. You'll be able to do things that you never thought you could. And He'll speak to you. He'll show you in prayer. He'll stop you at this place and say go in other places as He guides your life. Because He's leading you. Because He loves you. He's not a puppeteer. He is the master of all who is waiting on us to say, Lord, help me, show me. And He'll do it. He'll stop you. Let's pray. I'm going to open the altar today. And we're going to have people around praying. If you want to go and pray with some of these people that are on the side, there are life group leaders, other pastors who are here. Pray with them. But if you're coming today and this is your first time receiving Jesus in your life today, and you want to receive Him, please come and see me today as you publicly take a stand for him. Now, if you're a little squeamish about that and walking out and doing that, mark it on your card so I can talk to you later, okay? Put it on that card. Say, I want to talk to you about Jesus. I'm going to pray a prayer today, right now, that Jesus is going to expose the excuses in our lives so we can just be honest and get on with the blessings he has for us. Okay? Lord, I thank you that you always lead with your love. That all of this stuff, that as you reveal things to us, it's because you love us so much. Thank you. I bless your name today. Lord, I'm asking you today that you'll expose the excuses in our lives. Lord, just shine your light as we open ourselves to you. And every one of us here has some excuses in our lives. Lord, we're ready to do business with you. We want to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth / Savannah as it is in heaven. Come, Lord, right now. Lord, I'm praying for people that are here right now that have never received you. And there, Lord, there are people here today who have never received you in their lives. They have a form of religion, but they've never had Jesus. I'm asking you right now, they could pray this prayer and ask Jesus, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person. That this would be the day of salvation. I'm asking you, Lord, to do it today. Right now. It is in your name we pray. Amen. The altar's open.